Now we're going to look at part two of our preparation. It's the second reading. And this reading is from the letter to the Philippians. It starts with chapter 3, verse 17, and ends with verse 1 of chapter 4. Many interesting things in this text, and it ties in much more intimately with the theme of the whole day than is often the case. So it starts then, see, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Now that's a leader. Do what I do. Not just do what I say. Do what I do. Live like I live. That's a leader. You see how important that is? Let's don't tell everybody what to do. Do it. And then they'll admire you and want to imitate you and see the joy and freedom that it brings, you see? He says, then he goes on, for many walk, of whom I've often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. They got a nice comfy life. They go to church on Sunday. They criticize the pastor. That's an indoor sport. They, give a little money. But their lives, you know, they drink too much. They eat too much. Sometimes they're even unfaithful to their spouse. And I told you about these people. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. Or, you know, a little same-sex marriage is not a big deal. You know, an abortion is a woman's right. How can you get so confused? It's a woman's right to kill her child? Enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things, money, power, pleasure, all the things John talks about, the concupiscence of the eyes, the concupiscence of the flesh, and the pride of life. And they might go to church, but their hearts are far from the Lord. Then he goes on. This is very interesting, the way he describes this now. You see? And he says, our politeuma, our citizenship, my passport says heaven. See, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly expect and wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my homeland. And I'm waiting for him to come and bring me with him. And then it goes on, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. You see how he's already alluding to the transfiguration? The beautiful, glorious, radiant body of our Lord Jesus Christ, of which the transfiguration is a tiny glimpse. But that radiant body of Jesus, it's to that that we are going to be conformed for eternity. If we live the way he lived, that will be our eternal state. We will be that joined. You see, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior. Personally, he could come any time and take us to heaven. But as a community, as a church, as a race, we're waiting for the time when God will end history. When? Next week? Next 3 centuries? We don't know. But personally, it can't be that far off. And so we're waiting for Jesus to come to take us to heaven, where ultimately our bodies will be transformed and be just like his. That's beatitude. To know God, to see God, to be with all the holy people. You know, did you ever go to a party where everybody is nice, everybody is virtuous, And you say, gosh, this is great. It's a tiny glimpse of heaven. You can trust everybody. You know they love God. And they're going to love him for all eternity. And they're not going to change. And you know they love you. And there's millions of them. And you're all there, loving, worshiping, admiring, thanking, loving God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. With a whole physical frame that is beautiful and glorious. You see? Transfiguration is a promise. And that's why this text is used, you see? We await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to come as Otio, who will transform the body of our humble state. The text says, doesn't use metamorphosis, which is the transformation, uses another word, metaschematisi. The soma of our humility, to be symphoron, to be conformed with the body of his glory, according or in keeping with, how do they translate that anyway? Well, they didn't. In keeping with the exertion of his power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. Jesus Christ is the Lord of everything material. Even if there's 65 million light years of stars, they're all under his dominion. Through his body. This is the importance of body, but also the importance of incarnation. And now, you see, that's a promise. And the reading is put here, it has greater aptitude than often. Because what's that body of his look like? Well, look at the transfiguration. That's a hint of what's going to be our body forever. So that means take care of your body now. Don't eat too much, don't drink too much, don't sleep too much, don't waste time. Let your bodily life be a preparation. Otherwise, when you get there, you're going to have to be re-outfitted. Might take 1,000 years in purgatory. You can get over that by living a life now in which the glory of God shines. Huh? As Paul says in the letter to the Corinthians, we carry about in our bodies the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in us. Okay. And then you see that, you know? If you saw John Paul II on TV even, you saw some kind of radiance, some kind of holiness, you see? And that's peanuts compared to the way he's going to be forever. And we with him, if we'll just obey the Lord and obey him. You see? So, what the transfiguration is a promise. And what Paul is saying here, you see, to transform the body of our humble estate into conformity with the body of his glory. Now, how does he do this? By the exertion of the power he has, even to subject all things to himself. You see? Jesus has the power to subject all reality to himself, all material reality. Say there are 75 million light years to the end of the universe, or it's got an end. He's Lord of it all, in his body. And we're going to have that. See, that's one of the texts, it's this text in 2 Corinthians as well, where he says, you see, that we'll be conformed to him. We'll be like him. That's a promise. 417? 317? We're talking about that. I didn't think of it till this minute. That's why I don't. I've got to check it out now. 2 Cor 3, I think it's 317 or something like that. anyway, where he's talking about the same thing. And that we're conformed to him. We're being transformed. If I can't find it for you, at least I can tell you what it says. We are gazing on Jesus. And because we're gazing on Jesus, we're being transformed into Jesus. If we keep our eyes of our spirit fixed on Jesus, we will be transformed by that very power of the contact, okay? I'm going to see if I can't find it for you, though. And if I can't, you'll just have to believe me or go look it up in 2 Corinthians. All of us, here it is, 3:18. All of us gazing with unveiled face on the glory of the Lord now are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory as from the Lord who is the Spirit. If we keep our hearts and minds fixed on Jesus, that very effort, that prayer, we will be transformed, even now. And you know that. I mean, people just dying to stand next to Mother Teresa when she was alive. Just be there because holiness came out from her body. Wouldn't it be great if holiness came out from our body? If we were that transformed. And that's what he's talking about, you see. And so, for this particular Sunday, you see, therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, in this way, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. Think of where you're going. And, as he told the Corinthians, gaze on the Lord. Because if you gaze on the Lord, the eyes of faith, you'll start to be transformed into him, which is what the text says, right? All of us, gazing with unveiled faces on the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory. If we keep our hearts and minds fixed on Jesus, see the glory of his smile, the glory of his face. I've told you before, there's great tradition in Eastern monasticism. You're going through a very hard time because you're starting to realize how dependent you are. You're a disaster, you're a wreck, you're a sinner, you're a mess. And you're starting to realize that, not just blah, blah, blah. You're just getting it. And it's going to unglue you. And then you see the smile on the face of Jesus. It's all transformed. It's all transformed. Because you see, it puts it into proportion, gives you confidence. He's smiling at you. That means he loves you. And that smile is transforming you to be conformed to his glory. And so he's saying, you see the glory of my body? I want to give it to you for eternity. And that's the mystery of this transfiguration, and why the church, you know, so wisely picked this text from the letter to the Philippians, and then, as I say, echoes that text from the second letter of Corinthians. That was 3:18. You could start with 17, but the part I actually quoted for you started with 18. Look it up. Think about it. Gaze on Jesus during the day. Turn off the car radio. You don't need all that stuff. And just think about Jesus. And as you do, you'll be transformed into him. Amen.